Take it, Gandalf. Take it.
No, Frodo.
You must take it.
You cannot offer me this ring.
I'm giving it to you.
Don't tempt me, Frodo. I dare not take it. Not even to keep it safe.
That's Elijah Wood as Frodo the Hobbit and Ian McKellen as Gandalf the Wizard in Peter Jackson's film adaptation of J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. Shortly before he died in 1973, Tolkien sold the movie rights to his trilogy for £10,000. That's about $24,000 at the time and a small percentage of future revenues. The big screen versions raked in nearly $3 billion at the box office, but Tolkien's heirs had to take the studio, New Line Cinema, to court to get their share. An undisclosed settlement ended the matter in 2009, but family turmoil over the mere making of the films continues today. Despite that, the Lord of the Rings franchise actually inspired one young Tolkien to make films.
It's a passion. It's the only thing I feel I'm truly good at.
Nicholas Tolkien is the 21-year-old great-grandson of the famous author. His latest film premieres this weekend at the Santa Barbara International Film Festival. And Karen Pelland of KDB Radio in Santa Barbara has his story.
When the film The Fellowship of the Ring first hit theaters in 2001, Nicholas Tolkien was 11 years old, and he imagined the film would earn him some serious street cred. But as he recalls, with a lingering sense of shock, that didn't happen.
People started teasing me at school about it. They used to call me Hobbit, and they were very upset about it because it was this giant thing that I guess I had and they didn't, and it was very threatening. But I guess on a more personal level, I've not seen my granddad in 12, 13 years. And the reason for that is my granddad fell out with my dad because my granddad, Christopher, didn't want the films to actually even get made. And he thought...
Your granddad, Christopher, was the son of J.R.R. Tolkien, the author.
My dad publicly fought him about it and was really for the films, just as I was.
Do you know why he didn't want the films to get made?
Well, he always said that they were better novels than films and... you know, almost was sacred and should never have been made into films, and he didn't really think that they were a good representation of the novels. And, you know, I respect that. That's his point of view, but I always thought it was ironic because, in a funny way, more people read the books after seeing the films. And to just, you know, use problems with my dad as a reason never to see me is definitely very hurtful. But, you know, to me, I'm not losing any sleep over it. I don't even really remember what he looks like, to be honest. And it's strange to have somebody who was in your life for the first 9-10 years and then just disappeared over something that could have been great for everybody and could have been something we were all proud of. But I loved them. I mean, for my generation to be able to see a story like that done so well by Peter Jackson, I absolutely loved it.
Did you read the books before you saw the movies?
I did read the books. My dad read...
Required reading in your house?
My dad read them to me as a kid, you know, and it was something I always felt good about until I went to school and was really teased about it for a long time. And I kind of associated a lot of negativity with it.
But Nicholas didn't let the teasing or the family feud interfere with his dream of becoming a filmmaker. He started writing screenplays at 13, and after graduating high school in England at 16, he chose not to follow the Tolkien tradition of attending Oxford University.
I moved out to Los Angeles by myself at 17 on this unbelievably misguided adventure into Hollywood. And I spent 2 months, you know, going to meetings and, you know, being told that I was going to be the next greatest thing. And then the door got slammed in my face, unfortunately. And it made me completely terrified of making this crazy jump across the Atlantic to this weird new world. But at the same time, it made me think that, you know, anything's possible. And if at 17 I can get a meeting with these people, then, you know.
I was going to say, just getting a meeting.
Sure.
I mean, you know that your name is getting you somewhere, but then it's up to you to deliver.
Yeah, well, my dad's an author, and he was a criminal barrister for 20 years. And then in 2002, he started writing novels. And, you know, his first two books were turned down by, you know, a lot of people. And I said, you know, it's not going to get me everywhere. It might get me in the door, but it's not going to get me what I really want, which is to be a filmmaker.
So Nicholas Tolkien took his bruised ego 90 miles up the California coast to Santa Barbara and licked his wounds.
It was an escape from Los Angeles and from this dangerous city that represented, I guess, my greatest fear of failure. And I thought, you know, I've got to try and create something outside of Hollywood because I have the money to do it and I have the scripts to do it. And it's just a question of finding the right people. And I honestly believe that the future of Hollywood isn't in Hollywood.
Once he settled here in the decidedly un-Hollywood postcard city humbly known as the American Riviera, Nicholas did find some local actors and crew and went to work on his first film, Anna Kappa. But for his second and current film, Masquerade, he says despite having family money at his disposal, he learned that less is more.
Masquerade was inspired by the fact that Anna Kappa cost $100,000 to make and it hasn't really seen the light of day. And I said, well, let's take the French New Wave inspiration of cinema, which is improvisation and very cheap budgets and guerrilla filmmaking, and let's tell a story that can be told for a lot less money. And what inspired me was what happened with Charlie Sheen and him getting fired from his own show. And that created the premise of Masquerade, which was this former child actor who'd grown up, who was in love with the idea of the stardom that he's lost. And he goes out to seek it on this reality show and then gets fired and replaced on it. And
replaced on a reality show where he's playing himself.
Yeah, replaced on his own reality show.
If we just take the ratings, right? We say, you know what, audience? We hear you, audience, that you don't like Charlie Best. And so we're going to replace Charlie Best with someone new, a better actor.
How?
It can be done. I will cast it and I will bring someone else in and we will see how Charlie Best's behavior is offensive and brings the ratings down as part of the show because it's a reality show. And that warrants another actor coming on. And I can do it, Simon. I can find someone else. Give me a weekend.
Masquerade cost only $15,000 to make. And with the Lord of the Rings trilogy costing $285 million, Nicholas Tolkien is clearly no Peter Jackson. He hasn't been to film school, is entirely self-taught, and firmly believes that any aspiring filmmaker with a strong story and characters can and should learn on the job.
You can save so much money just by focusing on the story and the characters. So to make something in a mockumentary style was so much easier than having to put together this elaborate production.
Like the Lord of the Rings.
Like the Lord of the Rings, you know. I have to say, you know, if people aren't going to watch Masquerade, you know, they're not going to get hobbits, but they're going to get a lot of comedy, you know.
Despite his distaste for the cutthroat film industry down in Los Angeles, Nicholas Tolkien may one day find himself back there, with doors opening instead of shutting, and maybe even with a Lord of the Rings-esque budget. But for now, at 21, Hollywood can wait.
That's Karen Pelland of KDB Radio in Santa Barbara, California. Nicholas Tolkien's new film, Masquerade, premieres Sunday at the Santa Barbara International Film Festival. For more, go to herenow.org. As for Nicholas's great-grandfather, we thought you might enjoy this undated recording we found online of J.R.R. Tolkien reciting the ring verse from the pages of his famous book.
Three rings for the elven kings under the sky. Seven for the dwarf lords in their halls of stone. Nine for mortal men doomed to die. One for the dark lord on his dark throne in the land of Mordor where the shadows lie. One ring to rule them all. One ring to find them. One ring to bring them all and in the darkness bind them in the land of Mordor where the shadows lie.
Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again here and now.